With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Don't know what we want, but we know how to get it, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. It's me, it's Marcus Speller in your ears. Can you believe your luck? Jim Campbell's here as well.
Hello.
Luke Moore's here.
All right.
And Pete Donaldson's here.
It's been a while, hasn't it?
Three's company, but four's a ramble.
I'm here to stink up the ramble-o.
Oh, that's good. We've missed your stench, you dirty little sausage.
from your diplomatic mission.
It's lovely to have you back. Now, Peter, recently Arsene Wenger said he'd cry if football over the Christmas period was taken away, despite Louis van Gaal saying the lack of a winter break in English football is the most evil thing of this culture.
Oh, why did he say he'd cry?
That's mad.
Because he's obviously emotionally attached to the Christmas football calendar.
Do Arsenal fare well around about that time?
It depends on the season. Sometimes the blip will come at Christmas, sometimes it will come first, sometimes it will come last.
One of those.
I think it depends on the moon.
One of the blips.
Arsenal could become the first team to have their blip
in a winter break. Well, there's no football actually being played.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, if it came down to a straight strip-to-the-waist wrestle between Wenger and Van Gaal over the implementation of a winter break or
I don't think we all know it's
Van
going
Gaal
to.
Would batter him.
Yeah.
He would batter him. Yeah, he would.
I can imagine Wenger greasing himself up, though, which Van Gaal won't be prepared
being
for.
Being wiry, just, maybe, yeah.
I think he'd snap him like a Christmas box of matchsticks.
I do as well.
His little arms.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't like that you call him Van Gaal instead of Van Hal.
I've changed that. I don't know why I changed it.
Jim went with you as well.
I might go back at a later date.
Well, because of the BBC, then we can do either.
Mm.
We can do either. What one thing in football, if it was taken away, would upset you, possibly even to tears, Jim?
One thing I would be sad to see the back of, and this may sound an odd choice initially, would be shirtless Newcastle fans. Now, obviously, it's not often a pleasant sight. It is one of the great sort of mysteries of nature. Why do they do it? How are they not cold? Because we see it every winter. Like, December comes around and they're shirtless. They're just proud of how cold they can bear it to be. And it's confusing. But, you know, there's a lot of sponsorship in football now. A lot of it is from overseas. There's a chance that sponsors could go, can you stop them doing this?
No, it's part of the fabric of our game.
Yeah, this is really... This is upsetting the children of China. Can you stop this, please? But that would be sad. We'd lose some of the identity of the game if we made them put shirts on.
Well, A, there's a lot of children in China, and B, rising sea levels, and, you know, it's going to get warmer. It's going to get warmer. What are they going to do then? Take the skin off like that Robbie Williams video? No. I don't think so.
That's the only recourse left.
That's
all I've got to go with.
I mean, with rising sea levels and whatnot, maybe in Speedos like the Everton fan.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Well, that was for charity, was it?
Oh, that's a shame when you hear about
Somebody mentioned...
I was like, I prefer just to do it.
Why do you... Well, this is an important question. Why do you hate charity?
How long have you got?
It did seem like that was a challenge to the Newcastle fans to see how much further they could take it. Actually, Pete, I remember you saying you were at a Newcastle game once and you saw a man who was sat down and he had a hole in his jeans and one of his testes popped out without him realising.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Dirty boy. Do your gussets not wear and tear every now and again?
Yeah, on the jeans.
But you'd have to be looking up there.
I wasn't. I can't remember whether it was a picture or I actually saw it with my own eyes. Either way, one testicle was peeping out to say hello.
Did you have that little telescope that could look round corners on you?
Yeah.
One's popped out, the other one's staying in.
Petey's telescope.
Testy telescope.
Yeah. I once...
Petey's periscope. It'd be a periscope if you look round the corner.
I once saw a kid about 16 with his shirt off at a Portsmouth game and it was bitterly cold and he was obviously trying to emulate his older... fan idiot heroes who had their shirts off, and he looked so cold that genuinely, by the middle of the second half, people around him are going, honestly, mate, I'll put your shirt back on now. You've made your point.
It's all right, he's wearing a kit now. No, that's just his skin's gone blue.
And eventually he did put a shirt back on.
Why don't players like Pirlo use a periscope for corners?
Did you see Pirlo's near post defending on that MLS game at the weekend?
I did. It was a beautiful animated GIF.
Yeah.
I've never seen a man look more bemused at a ball going into the back of the net.
It was like he'd never seen the ball before.
Did Drogba score two back-heeled goals?
He scored two goals in a minute, I think.
Having a lovely time.
Yeah. Back to the question, though. So, Jim, you've gone for people with their shirts off.
You'd hate to see the back of that.
Fans.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Luke? Yeah.
I'm going to go for one thing I'd hate to see the back of is the National Football Hall of Fame.
Yeah, the
FA Hall of Fame, because it served me up with an absolutely magnificent slice of entertainment last week, which I'm now going to regale you guys with.
Yep.
As you all know, Chinese President Xi Jinping visited the UK last week, and he went to go visit the Football Hall of Fame.
He did.
Coincidentally, and it is a coincidence, Mr. Sun Ji-hai was inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, my
Premier League Hall of Fame.
They really want the money, the British government.
He was inducted in on the very same day, and I'll leave this with the pièce de résistance. Sun Ji-hai's most recent contribution to the Premier League? Playing in the 8-1 defeat by Middlesbrough for Man City. That's enough to get you in that Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Then keep it. I'd hate to see the back of it.
Oh my goodness.
And they've changed the name of the FA Cup.
Yeah, exactly.
That is ridiculous. Yeah, Osborne's after the billions, isn't he?
Yeah.
He will do anything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely anything. Pete?
Farts and flasks.
Right.
Okay. Do you remember the question?
I just think...
You didn't say farts in flask, did you?
No, a flask. Like a flask of hot Bovril and the associated smells that comes along with drinking lots of Bovril. I just think it's a heady mix. It reminds me of being a child.
And now there's
the terrace.
Smoking. Now there's no smoking at games. It smells of farts quite a lot now.
Yeah, nightclubs do too.
And pubs, yeah.
Terrible.
Mm.
Yeah. So keep that. Keep that.
I mean, it's hard to think of how they would get rid of farts from a game. given that human beings are always involved, and whenever you get human beings,
they hand you a cork before you plug in. Where is that plugging in?
Beneath each seat. Yeah, that'd be lovely. I'd love
Glade pluggers, but until people's eyes are watering with a lavender husk.
I wouldn't. I would much prefer that. I would miss the Bovril, not that I ever have it, but as you say, there's an ounce of tradition that's needed to be kept. Mm. In this era of modern football.
I mean, we don't drink enough meaty, gravy-related water, do we? I might do, yeah. I like to get a big bowl of Twiglets and fill it with water and have it like a cereal. Yeah. And drink the juice.
If that's not going to give you farts, I don't know what will.
And liver problems. Possibly not true.
Finish.
Please consult your medical professional.
I'm not the Surgeon General.
Sven.
Okay, yeah, he's also, gone. Yeah. He is gone.
Also involved in the 8-1.
Yeah, he was. Yes.
Yeah, I think Luke's got the points for just for research alone.
Thank you very much. That seemed like a story that couldn't pass by the Ramble.
I think China have got the points.
Yeah.
And please invest billions in.
We've got no choice in that.
Yeah, in this podcast. Let's go to the Premier League. Mostradamus rise again.
Strikes again.
Blumenek.
It's a potent power.
A month in advance as well, Luke.
A potent power of prediction. Once the prediction's been set.
Yeah.
Once the die has been cast and the wheels are in motion, mm-hmm. he didn't have a prayer, did he?
No, certainly.
I bet he ain't not never felt so bad.
No, he hasn't, no. Once he finds out how his meat did it, I'll tell you, he's probably going to send a cut of his pals from Boreham Wood to duff me up good.
Yeah, I still think he'd be a bit matey with you.
Yeah, he probably would, yeah. He probably would.
Old Tim Sherwood.
But
buy you a pint afterwards.
Do you reckon? No, yeah. I don't reckon he would.
Yeah, I think he'd punch you and buy you a pint afterwards to show you that he's a good geezer.
For those who don't remember Luke's little Sherwood prediction,
the top of the show, wasn't
let's
it?
Have a little recap.
Well, this was his earlier prediction.
Are you the only one surprised by that?
You are.
Well, Stuart Pearce is not a very good manager.
At a certain level.
I'll put something out there right now. He will be gone by March.
Yeah.
Got that one right, didn't I?
Gone by March. He'd be gone by March, and he was gone by March. So Luke's Mostradamus prediction was correct. Here's the next clip.
Do you want a Tim Sherwood prediction?
Please, go on.
I genuinely have done
that. Gone by March?
I crunched some numbers. I think he'll be gone by the 30th of November.
Oh, I love that.
Wow.
I love that.
A day.
Tim Sherwood gone by the 30th of November.
You're looking good, Luke.
25th of October. Give myself a bit of wriggle room.
It was looking a little bit dicey back in last season.
You know what? My life, the last month or so, my life has become a roller coaster. And when Villa scored the first goal against Swansea, I was like, oh, for God's sake. But luckily for Villa fans, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Luckily for them, he's been given his marching orders and rightly so.
Well, we got some more clips as well, Luke.
I think Hazard might explode this season. Not literally. I think he might go really, really big. I think he might really stake a claim as being
pushing Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah.
There's still time.
Jim getting involved.
I'm just enabling you. You a platform.
There's still time. There's still time.
Yeah, there's a long way to go.
Do you want one more clip?
Yeah, I'd love one, yeah.
And then just to finish off with the Premier League, Slaven Bilic, we're looking forward to that in West Ham.
Yeah. Also in teams that I fear for this season. West Ham are in, I think, trouble.
Right.
I think, yeah.
Yeah,
they're in third.
That's where they are. Best ever start of the Premier League.
Is that good enough for
them? They're 2 points off the top currently.
Do you want one final clip?
Yes, I'd love one, please.
Here is the paper which bears his name upon it as well as mine in recognising never to go to war with one another again.
Hooray!
Happy to be the football round was very own Neville Chamberlain. There's nothing wrong with that.
I have in my hand fingers a P45.
Fingers crossed the Churchill comes along before it's too late.
Oh, marvellous.
Yeah, you chuck enough shit at Elwall.
But to be fair, on the managerial side of things, you're spot on.
Everyone's got to have a specialist subject.
We look forward to the next one, but we're not going to push you because we know that you can't rush
it. Doesn't work like that, does it?
It comes through me, not from me.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. You're a lot like Psychic Sally in that sense.
Yeah, but like Derek Okora.
Again, stop talking. You're worse than him with Sven. Talk about Derek Okora every week.
He's a fascinating chap. Let's at least all acknowledge that.
I think we can all agree on that.
Back to the game, the AU brothers were on the score sheet.
They were.
Pleasing.
It was very pleasing.
Boom, boom, boom.
I don't think
let me hear you say AU.
That's not the first time they've played against each other, is it? Because they would have played against each other in France.
They did.
At the same time.
I think, did they both score in that game as well? I think they may have done.
I think
Marseille v Lorient.
Possibly. I
think Jordan got the better of him.
He did.
France,
he certainly did.
But Andre got the better of him this time round.
Yeah, I mean, the Aston Villa thing, I mean, one thing I will say for Sherwood is that, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but at least recently, to his credit, he's not really been given a huge amount of excuses. He's not at all squirmed. Like I thought, because if you think about it, we wrote him off a little bit as a Harry Redknapp light. And Harry Redknapp, as soon as things start going wrong, he'll start saying they did this and they did that rather than we did this. And Tim Sherwood's never done that. He's started up to it. He said that, you know, because the other day when someone said to him, oh, is Tim Sherwood in trouble? And he said, the whole club's in trouble. Yeah. And that is true.
That is true.
But he's tried to spin a narrative around having young players and all this other stuff. And actually, that's not fair, I don't think. I think he's got a lot of experienced Premier League players in there as well.
But as you say, though, I don't remember Sherwood even once mentioning his knees. Like, not
no,
even once.
Exactly,
I just don't think I can cut it at this level.
Yeah, that would have been very refreshing, wouldn't it? Almost as refreshing as if Tim Sherwood's wife was called Sandra. That would be brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
That would be lovely.
Yeah, I mean, I think Villa fans would probably be quite pleased, but it's... Who replaces him? There's been talk of Remy Gard.
Yeah, that's linked Remy Gard seems to be the favourite. Brendan Rodgers is an obvious... an easy link to make.
Rodgers won't go there,
exactly. You would think not. Pearson as well is another one.
Well, as a troubleshooter,
absolutely, he's
a troublemaker.
The Moyesire.
Yeah, well, Moyes is in Real Sociedad. We'll come on to them in.
Well, I'll tell you who else wants the gig. I read this on the way in. Big Dwight York.
Does he?
Yeah. Wow.
And if Dwight York gets the gig, I will be making another prediction. And it'll probably be in hours rather than months.
And it'll still be the 30th of November.
Imagine the suits on the touchline. Come on. Yeah.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Imagine if Dwight York gets the gig and he gets fired before the 30th as well. Two for one. Yeah. Two for one.
That's what I liked what Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was doing with Burton. You know, going through the league, doing it properly, not just jumping in at the top.
Savo Milosevic, get him in there.
Get them all in.
Yeah.
Churchich.
Bosco Balaban.
Julian Joachim.
Yeah, now you're talking.
I am.
But at least like, with Jimmy Floyd, he's gone in there and he's earned his stripes. And
earning.
But Tim Sherwood always refused to do that, didn't he? He was linked with loads of jobs, wasn't he?
To be fair to Sherwood, he was in a strange position, wasn't he, where he was a coach at Tottenham and then he was offered the first team job.
Yeah.
You would be mad to turn that down.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not entirely his fault. He took a gamble on his own ability, and fair enough to him.
I mean,
Liverpool will be gutted.
Yeah, they will. But I think, though, that some managers, they do jump in at that level, and they're fine. We've seen that before, and often we have a bit of a moan if English managers aren't given the chance at that level. less said about that, the better.
Yeah.
But now Sherwood probably needs to look at Championship clubs. I mean, again, if he's offered a Premier League job,
does he deserve one? That's what I
wouldn't imagine. Or not even check. Well, certainly lower than Premier League.
Well, the lower league situation is an interesting question.
And there's no shame in that.
No, absolutely not. And I think he would be better suited to that as well, because he's the sort of manager, he'll go in there, he'll give players a kick up the arse, he'll give them confidence. Mm. And do you know what? At League One, League Two level, it's probably good enough.
Some Championship sides.
If you can get a team believing in you and believing in the project and having confidence, the problem with Tim Sherwood is at Premier League level, it's much more technical.
Yeah.
You need a lot of technical and tactical ability, and he's not capable of that.
We're seeing that with... we see it every season with promoted clubs who play an expansive attacking style, and we want to see them stick to it. You know, Bournemouth are a great example. In fact, all three of the promoted clubs are a great example. Mm. You get up to the Premier League, you just can't do it because it's too tactical and too technical and complicated. Mm. And you know, Sherwood's style is a victim of exactly that thing. You can't just go out all guns blazing and have no plan B.
And there are other managers, Jim, who appear to me to have just completely admitted that they're not up to Premier League standard. Mm. And it makes perfect sense. If there's players that aren't up to Premier League standard, there are managers as well. Look at someone like Ian Holloway, Neil Warnock. These sorts of managers, that they are great at Championship level. Mm. Look at someone like Steve Evans. I mean, we'll probably come on to him a bit later.
Oh, but we will.
But Steve Evans, for all the sort of derisory comments he gets made about his personality and stuff, I think he's had something like 8 promotions in 21 years as a manager. Yeah. He's clearly a very competent lower league manager. Mm. Would you give him a Premier League job? Absolutely not. Mm. So there are levels to it, and I think Tim Sherwood needs to at least be a bit more honest with himself and say he's at least initially got to find his level first before he can do that.
And initially, because you'd imagine he'd have a fair few contacts in the game so he can access to perhaps players that other managers at that level may not do, and so on and so forth. And
take advantage of the loan system.
Yeah.
Well, you Luke, didn't you sort of, it was some kind of training afternoon with the Spurs.
Oh, it's the Next Gen series
teams.
He was being an arse then.
And he was kind of like up and down the touchline, not really watching the game, just talking to his friends. Yeah, and
man
stuff.
About the dugout.
My memory of it was against Wolfsburg, and Wolfsburg were pretty switched on, and the manager was taking it very seriously, and they were treating it as a proper game.
Unreasonably.
No, exactly, and it was a proper game. I mean, it's a proper. A couple of the games were actually at Wire Lane, but this one was at Ball's Cross up in Enfield, and And then the Spurs players came out, and it was on one of the training pitches. About 10 minutes later, after the kickoff, Sherwood came like moseying down with like a cup of coffee in a polystyrene cup. Just started chatting to Pat Jennings for about 20 minutes. He wasn't even watching the game.
No need to specify polystyrene cup.
No, well, I'm just painting a picture.
New York's banned polystyrene cups.
Is that right?
So. Have they?
Who would we like to see take over?
See, we'll be going to the Red Bulls, all right?
No.
I think it probably suits someone like David Moyes, actually, but it depends whether he wants to leave.
What about Ricky Villa?
Yeah, it's a name. It's a name to put in the hat. Isn't it?
Okay,
David
great.
Villa.
Yeah, there you are.
Player manager.
There you go, you see.
Aston Kutcher.
Aston Kutcher sounds like a footballer's name.
Yeah. It does. Stop stalling, Peter. You know I'm moving on to the North East Derby.
Yeah. Toon. Black and white RV.
Six successive Derby wins for Sunderland. The biggest winning run in the fixtures history.
So do they even claim the points? They don't care about them, do they? Yeah. This is their
season. Give the charity. like a celebrity game show.
Big Sam couldn't believe his luck, could he?
I can only get better. And a horse was punched. Yeah. You see that?
More horse punching.
Is it serious?
Three fans punched a horse in Newcastle, but it was an ornamental horse outside a restaurant.
Is this becoming a thing now?
Apparently so.
If you're a horse, get out of town. We'll be a one-horse town soon.
Well, that horse will be in danger. Yeah.
I've got it in my notes.
Punch a gift horse in the mouth.
I've got it in my notes. Some fans punched a horse again. Herbie the fiberglass horse sits outside a restaurant called the Herb Garden, and three Newcastle fans punched him and then ran away.
So is that one for each goal?
Yeah, I guess it probably was, yeah.
That's satirical, though.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
That's satire.
Satirical violence.
Satirical horse punching.
Are the sorts of people that do that into satire?
Charlie Amanda Iannucci.
They're into horse aside.
But to speak about the game, Newcastle started very, very well indeed.
That's the best derby performance Newcastle have put in for about five seasons.
Still got beat 3-0,
yeah.
Didn't they?
Yeah.
Still got
pumped. Well, you know, you can't play against 12 men, can you?
No, you can't. You're referring to the referee in Naughty Chap.
Yeah, and sending off, that means 13 men.
It shouldn't have been a sending off. No, you don't get an extra player for man. Colaccini doesn't get... Should that be a rule? If your man gets sent off, he has to go and play with the opposition. Colaccini was... It was a harsh decision. Even Big Sam said that in the safety of the post-match.
Yeah. Yeah. Behind a big polystyrene cup.
Behind 3 points. And a big old grin. It wasn't a sending off.
I mean,
I'm not so sure, you know. He's barged him over.
But yeah, but the ball was surely going to the keeper.
The situation, in my view, was that it was a penalty, but it wasn't a red card because he's not getting to that ball.
Wasn't held by Rob Elliott being a bit slow off his line. I think that was kind of...
He's always going to get there. Mm. I mean, obvious goal-scoring opportunity, it was not, I don't think. But the thing that I've not seen mentioned, actually, is the fact that it was... outrageously bad defending by Colaccini anyway. Colaccini of 5-6 years ago isn't that slow to react and isn't that slow to recover. And he wouldn't have needed to do that. Mm. The point was that, was it Fletcher, Stephen Fletcher?
Yeah.
Made that textbook run between the centre-halves. And Colaccini was so close, so slow to react to it and didn't have the recovery pace to make up. He had no other option than to try and make some sort of 50-50 thinking, I might get away with it. He obviously didn't.
Just overcooked it.
But it wasn't a red card.
Pete, did you think it was even a penalty?
I think it probably was a penalty, yeah. But I think, again, watching the captain of Newcastle United not cover himself in glory, and that's no kind of... that's no inspiration to any young defenders in the game or even at Newcastle United.
It's not his fault that he's still being picked and still being asked to play. I mean, there's no one else to play.
And, you know, he's the most experienced head in the team. And yeah.
So what you're saying when McLaren says to him, what are you doing? What if you pick me, Steve?
What I'm saying is it's a sad state of affairs that a clearly ailing, once proud and good defender is being forced into making those sorts of decisions because his legs aren't there anymore. Mm. It's a shame for everyone concerned.
What wasn't a shame was seeing Billy Jones score.
What wasn't a shame was Big Eunice Cabool's ball for the third one.
Delightful.
I'll tell you, if that had been mid to late 90s Manchester United counter-attacking like that, I'll tell you what, we'd be loving it. That'd be a staple of many a highlight DVD. Yeah. It would have been a DVD back then as well.
Yeah, and there would now be just tons of videos of that with a terrible Europop soundtrack on YouTube.
Yeah.
No, it would be Bring Me to Life by Evanescence. Yeah. That's what it would be.
That's often
used, yeah. Mm.
Stephen Fletcher even had time for a dig in the post-match, didn't he? Where he said they asked him to talk them through his goal, and he said, "I looked over. He said something like, 'I didn't expect much from Big Eunice, but he put the ball right on the spot for me.
Yeah, can't say fairer than that.
Younes Kabul, like, breaking forward, putting an inch perfect cross onto someone's.
Just the technique and the confidence where he stroked it over.
I just think it's a really easy 3 points for Sunderland. Every time they just sack your manager, play in your castle in your next match, and you know, you're laughing.
Yeah,
they are. Like, really loud and hard.
More Premier League football chat after this.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with Plush Care. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the air in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Good. Very good. Very good. So good.
TheFootballRamble.com.
It was a very sleepy Manchester derby.
Oh, do we even have to talk about that?
Well, we can just move on if you like.
Let's move back to the other derby.
That's how bad it was.
There's more derbies
in Newcastle.
There's more derbies. I don't think we're even at the halfway point of the derby chat. This
derby
podcast.
Day.
It could have been
with
called
Donaldson.
That.
He's back.
Derby day. Yeah, the two sides cancelled. I went for a
Calciopoli.
Yeah, cancelled each other out. Great defensive display from Manchester City, but Jesse Lingard nearly scored a beauty. Yeah, that volley, the technique, the way he spun around.
But the really noticeable thing about that from watching the game was it was the one moment of real quality in it. If you were, you know, if you didn't know much about football and you tuned into that game, you wouldn't think that was two teams right at the top of the table. No. It was just really, really drab.
If you chose that moment to start watching football, you would never watch another game again.
Yeah.
Van Gaal said he was sick of answering questions about Rooney's form. Yeah. And I suppose that's fair
because his
form hasn't improved, so we all know.
I think Van Gaal, I mean, listen, if he's going to keep picking him, he's going to keep getting those questions because Rooney's not performing. I was trying to think back, we touched on this a little bit before, maybe a week or two ago on the previous show, one of the previous shows we did about Rooney, and the last time he's genuinely performed in a big game. I can only think of two contributions he's made so far this season. One was that goal against Everton when the game was already won. And did he also play quite well against Sunderland at home? But Sunderland were truly bad. Mm. Other than that, Rooney's done nothing.
Rooney's now playing
in the league.
In the league, yeah. Yeah, in the league, yeah, in the Premier League, yeah.
Rooney is now playing like he looks like he would play. Does that make sense?
Like a big clogger.
Yeah, like
an old clogger.
Maybe he's got really bad and his brother is getting really good.
Yeah, because his brother used to be a Wayne Rooney impersonator, didn't he?
So exactly. Maybe Wayne Rooney's been a Wayne Rooney impersonator now. We're not doing a very good job of it.
I like Rooney. I think he seems like, I mean, he's had to grow up in the public eye. He's had difficult moments, of course. He does now seem like a genuinely nice man, like a family man. He seems like a quiet, like, retiring guy.
He got punched in the face by his friend.
Yeah, there you go.
His house.
Yeah, you can't help but feel sorry for him when that happened. But I think, really, he isn't performing at the level he needs to perform at now. And
not for a Manchester United team that need to pick up form.
And he can be a flat track bully for England in qualifying games. But we all know that. I mean, we're not learning anything about that. And I don't want to cheapen that, because someone's got to score those goals and England have got to qualify for a tournament somehow. But his record in big tournaments generally since 2004 has been poor. We all know that. And I don't think really there's any cause for confidence when England play a good team in the Euros next summer with Rooney leading the line. I just don't see that happening, and I don't see his form improving now. It's impossible for me to see a 30-year-old man of his physique and of his attitude to fitness and all that other stuff really improving. I just don't see how you can make that argument.
I mean, Otamendi had a very good game, effectively shackling
Rooney. He was fantastic, absolutely fantastic.
But, I mean, Rooney used to, you know, display a lot of invention when it came to beating people, and he simply doesn't now. And Otamendi was, I don't know, perhaps made to look a bit better, because Rooney's quite blunt leading the line like that, and it was just for him to mop up. And
I think Otamendi's going into that game thinking, brilliant, I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Because he can make Rooney look bad.
Well, I mean, he probably will lead the line for England next
summer.
Yeah,
I think he will, yeah.
Or could we see big Andy Carroll?
Because
he's back with a bang.
I thought you were going to go Jamie Vardy. No, you flipped it on me then.
Andy Carroll heaping more misery on Mourinho.
Yeah.
I think it was a case, Andy Carroll coming back, that West Ham haven't really had the form to allow Andy Carroll to come back slowly. Because he's always had injuries, but he's always been forced to come back very quickly. Mm-hmm. We got told in the in the post-match that they try their best to kind of ease him in a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And his form is pretty good.
It's great to have the luxury to be able to do that.
They've got options going forward, West Ham.
They're really struggling, as I predicted.
They're right up there, but they've Payet's obviously having a great time. Yeah. Lanzini's done well, and if you throw Carroll in the mix, just great options.
Well, Enna Valencia's back as well now.
Yeah,
I'll eat my hat if Payet is there next season. He's so good. I don't mean that disrespectfully to West Ham, but he is so good. Very, very good player. So always can, and the thing is, that type of player, assists and trickery and nice runs, intelligent decisions. It's very hard to find a consistently good player like that. That type of player lends itself to drifting in and out of games, doesn't it? Yeah. Payet has just been absolutely red hot every single game of the season that I've seen. Anyway.
Yeah. And his decision-making is superb.
It's great. Speaking of decision-making, by the way, someone whose decision-making has fallen off a cliff is Nemanja Matic. I mean, and that is an important position in terms of decisions. Do you go to the ball? Do you tackle? Do you track the run?
Do you just push someone over
while on a yellow?
But the fall from grace is incredible, given that he was arguably the best player in that position in the world last season.
Yeah. For parts of last season, certainly.
Yeah, it's crazy. It really is. And a friend of mine was working at that game, and he said it was absolute chaos behind the scenes.
Give us the inside scoop.
It was chaos behind the scenes, apparently. Mourinho was, as you can imagine, going completely postal in English and Portuguese. Mm-hmm. Did you see where he had to stand? And then when West Ham scored that goal, it was like a Where's Wally with Mourinho. He had a face like a slapped bot, didn't he?
I thought it was Photoshop when I first saw it.
Yeah, it was.
He just keeps failing, doesn't he? He's becoming a real specialist in it.
Chelsea are going to be in they are in a real predicament now, because he's obviously, he's still one of the best managers in the world. And
Chelsea, current form, he's not.
Well, I mean, come on, he still is up there. His name's up there. And Chelsea want him to be their manager. He is their manager. They want him to last a long time. But if this continues, they're going to be in a very, very difficult position. Who do they then go for if they sort of think, well, and also it's a 30-odd million payoff if it doesn't work out.
And that's a marquee signing
summer. It's a huge amount of money, you're right. And I mean, he refused to speak to the media afterwards, which is piss poor. He's been sent to the stands, as you say, look, behind the scenes, absolute chaos. The image of the club is being dragged through the mud. Now, whatever you may think of Chelsea, that's the case. And Abramovich, he wanted to play Barcelona football quite famously a few years ago, has realised maybe that's rather difficult and you have to cultivate that over many, many years. But he doesn't want this global brand to be seen by those who aren't supporting the club.
That's a sideshow. It's an absolute sideshow.
Yeah, but he doesn't want his club to be hated and laughed at and scorned. Mm. And so that's what Mourinho provides.
That's what he brings, isn't it? Mentality that he enjoys, as we've touched on many, many times. But it's strange, isn't it? Because that the fear factor Chelsea had has also gone. I think, you know, Mourinho, when he first came to the Premier League, there was something novel about him. He was so stylish and so charismatic, and, you know, that sort of the arrogance he had seemed weirdly charming. But now we're used to that, and that's become boring, and the press have turned on him. The sort of general affection he'd get from people that, you know, aren't even Chelsea fans is gone now.
Yeah.
And it's a weird thing. I think that siege mentality thing must be annoying when it's not working, like just everyone hating you. That can't be much fun as a human being. And in the past, you know, when they conceded, it almost felt like that was arbitrary and didn't mean much. And you always felt that, you know, by the end of the game they would win. But now you just don't think that at all. You think, oh, they're just going to pick up the ball, sulk and go home, which is very much in the mould of their manager and the way he's behaving at the moment.
I called it wrong on the previous show on Friday. I was sort of kicking myself when I saw it unfold, because I thought that people were underestimating how bad West Ham had been at home. And then I thought Chelsea might actually... I thought Chelsea were in the process of turning a corner. Of course, we've subsequently found out just how bad Aston Villa are. So that's probably, that was a sort of bit of a false position.
Well, no, but that's it, yeah.
But then West Ham, what they did was essentially, yep. And I should have seen it coming really, was they set themselves up absolutely exactly the same as they would have done away from
home. That's right.
Because they're not under pressure at home from their fans to go at Chelsea.
Yeah.
And it's just worked perfectly. Playing to Bilic's hands absolutely perfectly. Mm. The problem for Chelsea is that, as well as all the stuff you've touched on, Jim, is for me now, it just seems like the way football is these days, and we've seen reports in the newspapers here in London saying Simeone's being sounded out, they're trying to convince Guardiola, and it comes down to whether they can get someone to replace him. And if they can, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, people do change, of course, but Abramovich has got previous here. If he can pull the trigger and get an improvement on Mourinho,
yeah.
Which arguably Simeone and definitely Guardiola
and Ancelotti
is.
If he came back.
I don't think they'd go
I'd
back.
I'd be surprised
Ancelotti.
If Ancelotti
but
would go back.
What's the difference between Mourinho and Simeone? Simeone is still very, very hungry, and I think he always hire a hungry man. Always.
Absolutely. I think as well.
That's what you write in your CV, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I am always a hungry man.
That's why Leeds went for Steve Evans, presumably.
Yeah.
I wonder if all this friction with the FA and, you know, the criticism of the refs and like this whole conspiracy theory nonsense that he's always putting forward about how, you know, everyone's out to get them is a way for him to give himself an excuse if he leaves. Because, you know, it all went south.
So he can say, oh, they basically conspired against me and I had no choice but to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. My position became untenable. Similar to, you know, how it played out at Real Madrid. And, you know, it was kind of like that at Inter as well. And actually, everywhere he's been, bar Porto, really.
Is he going to be
sick of himself.
Is he going to be the first manager to fully exhaust the fines process? Because his players are going to... Chelsea are going to get a fine for fans to control their players because they had 7 bookings and they're red.
Right.
He's already been fined hugely and now he's going to get fined again for being sent to the stands. He refused to do his media commitments. He's get fined for that. He's talked about a conspiracy again, so he'll probably get fined for that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost
stop
like that. Fines aren't putting him off.
It's like,
almost like he's independently wealthy.
It's like it's like that scene from, is it the Breakfast Club? But sir, 4 weeks detention.
Yeah.
But you can't 5 weeks detention. That's what the FA like with Mourinho.
Yeah. Okay. He'll be sneaking in one of those laundry bins again before we know it.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Of course I do.
Yeah.
But who's going to come in? That's the thing. Like, Abramovich isn't going to ring up Bayern and go, do you want a swap?
Exactly.
Do you want to do a swap?
Benitez, Real Madrid.
Mm. Come on.
Amazing, wouldn't it? Leicester beat Palace 1-0. Vardy with a great goal.
Linked with Real Madrid.
He is being linked with Real Madrid. And so he bloody should be, Jim. That goal was reminiscent of the one Messi scored against Arsenal, if you remember when Messi flicked it over the keeper.
I have nightmares about it to this day.
But it was glorious. It was utterly glorious from Vardy. And he said he saw that in a game and then thought, I fancy a bit of that. If I get the chance, and he did.
Aubameyang and Lewandowski are the only two players in Europe's top league to score more goals than him this season.
That's astounding, isn't it? Is it 10 in 10 and is it 8 in 8 Premier League goals? Is that right?
Seven games in a row. I think, yeah.
Palace were unlucky not to get a penalty or two.
Yeah. Oh, Pards. Pards was chomping at the bit to chin.
Oh, my goodness.
He was chomping at the bit to chin someone again.
He was.
He's not going to last. He's going to break.
Yeah. There's no... Another week of that and he's gone.
What's going to happen is, at one point, he's going to break. He's going to chin someone.
Yeah.
He's going to go home. He's going to cry to his wife. No, he's never going to get the England job.
Yeah.
And then who knows what will happen. He might get a Chelsea job. You never know.
Well, he deserves it.
But it's great because you can almost literally see the angel and the devil on each shoulder of Pardew.
Yeah.
Angel's going, England job. Devil's going, chin him.
Yeah, devil's going,
push
you
a line
who you are. You know who you are.
No, the angel is going, England job, chin him later.
Yeah. Chin him at a major tournament.
I think. Get a linesman.
The world needs to know who you are.
Yeah.
Who the real you is, Alan.
Just a knock at the door. Hello, I'm your linesmanogram. And he just pushes them over.
Yeah.
I think, if Pardew did ever get like a big job like the Chelsea job or something, I could just see him on the touchline
mouthing to himself, "You deserve this."
Yeah. Do you remember when he said Chelsea played their part? But I read earlier, I forget who it was at Stoke, but someone is talking about using the Chelsea game, because they're playing Stoke next. Stoke's talking about using the Chelsea game to bounce back from a disappointing defeat against Watford. Chelsea just been absolutely hammered by everyone.
That is superb.
It's like they've been dancing with the devil, and now the music stopped, and now they've got to face it.
Exactly. Before we go to the Championship, Harry Kane got a hat-trick away to Bournemouth.
Yeah, he needed those goals.
Well done, Hazard.
Arthur Boric was drunk.
Yeah, he was. The whole Bournemouth defence, I think the third goal in particular, they were just all over the place. Like, it's weird because you look at that performance and they've had a couple of absolute spankings recently. And the most important thing at the moment is, even if they don't pick up a win, they've got to address that. You can't get hammered 5-1 every week. It just destroys your morale. But look at that and think, they have got as much chance as a dog in a horror film in this league, if that keeps going up. But then you look at the table and they're not in the bottom three. Sunderland and Newcastle still somehow worse.
Yeah, they'll take great heart from that.
I mean, they've barely got anyone with any Premier League experience and still they're above them.
Yeah, well, Luke did say on the preview show that Bournemouth won't enjoy that match.
Well, it's a difficult game for them. Spurs are so hard working. Pochettino's got them at it now, playing as he wants them to play. If Kane can stay fit and he can take that hat trick and use it to sort of boost his confidence. They can, I mean, really, they are short up front, but they can really kick on. They can. Boris helped them out. I mean, Eddie Howe lipped his defence on Match of the Day, and that was nice to see. He said that he was a really important player for us in our promotion season, and we know he's a good goalkeeper, and all the stuff you'd expect him to say. But, I mean,
He went on to say out there, beer's not licensed. It's fine. It's a soft drink.
Yeah. I've told him to stop. He won't.
Yeah. I know. I think Spurs might be on the march. Right then, let's go to the Championship. By the way, there was a London derby, the West Ham Chelsea. I mean, if you were wondering where all the derbies were coming from, but there was a Lancashire derby, Blackburn versus Burnley. It was a great win for Sean Dyche and his chaps, 1-0 away.
What a goal!
Blackburn. Oh yeah.
I mean, that's going to be that is just local fame for life. Isn't it?
Yeah,
local hero status. Spot on. Asserted.
And that's what football is about.
He'll never have to buy another pint in Burnley again, and he will never be able to visit Blackburn again, as it should be. But Blackburn are really struggling, aren't they?
They are. Down in 18th. Yeah. But Burnley up in third on the same points as Hull. Steve Bruce and Sean Dyche. Could they be back?
Reminiscing.
They'll be back.
I'll tell you who is back. Shola Ramiobi.
Oh, hey. Come
on his debut for Bolton.
Not too shoddy,
eh? Yeah. Came on after 12 minutes due to an injury, and it was his first goal in English football since May 2014.
Brilliant. I think he's going to enjoy it down there.
He's a striker.
To be fair, do you remember when he called the police because he thought he'd been robbed, and when they got there, he realised he just... hadn't tidied up.
Yeah, he lost his checkbook, and they did an empty.
Didn't think people use them much.
He's a very old man.
Yeah. Football clubs use fax machines and checkbooks.
He's also responsible for the greatest football photo of all time, which is him riding a bike eating an apple.
That is top drawing.
He can multitask.
Yeah, he can. But Bolton have obviously got huge problems with their finances and stuff like that, and they're really struggling, scratching around for players and stuff. So I mean, Show's come. He's got a lot of experience, hasn't he? I mean.
Yeah,
it's not a completely ridiculous
signing.
Comedy aside, it's not a completely ridiculous
signing. Him and Heskey.
Yeah, that's true.
He's scored 50 goals in
how long?
400 appearances.
He's a 1 in 10 man.
Yeah. 2-1 all draws for Steve Evans since he joined Leeds. Steve Evans said in a press conference recently, "I think the players saw a corner turn when Steve Evans walked in." He also said, "I'm a realist. Steve Evans doesn't lie in bed and dream." is that even better with another man called Steve?
To be fair to Steve Evans, we've already talked about his record. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's a bit of an arse, but this line did make me laugh. Apparently, he also said when he took his first training session, he grabbed all the players round and started talking to them. And at the end of his first little speech, he went, "And if you don't like me, don't worry about it. I'll be gone by Friday."
Did he say that? Fair enough.
Good on Steve Evans.
He is. If you're a journalist, he's a manager, absolute dream. He'll always give you all the quotes you want in the world.
The third person thing's great.
Yeah.
A lot of managers, but Tim Sherwood's doing that a lot, wasn't he? We need to see that kept up because it genuinely is very funny.
Yeah. Would that make you cry if that left football?
Luke Moore would very much like to see that.
Yeah, that's right. In League One, Barnsley lost home to Fleetwood. Great result for Fleetwood, that is. But the big story there was a Barnsley fan went to the loo at half time and fell asleep on the pot. Yeah. In the cubicle. He woke up 7 hours later. He blamed booze for this.
Booze, lock me in.
He managed to find his way onto the concourse and he set off a security alarm, which notified the necessary ordinary people, of course. And then he was, I think he was on top of a building trying to get attention. Yeah. And a spokesperson, the quote here is quite something. A spokesperson from the Barnsley Fire Brigade said, "We had to get the ladder to get him down." Well, fair enough. He had no shoes on and he had lost his mobile phone and his hat. He was more bothered about his hat, though. He seemed a smartly dressed lad. What is going on there?
It's an eventful weekend.
Has someone pinched his shit? Oh, look at this guy.
Yeah, two words, extreme cottaging.
There's something very Breaking Bad's Jesse Pinkman about that.
Yeah,
you can imagine Pinkman doing that.
Oh, dearie me. We're going to talk about European football after this.
Well, Marcus, I think it was a nothing-nothing result. I'm Craig Brown. Welcome to the Football Ramble.
Oh, we're back again, just like I said. Don't forget the Football Ramble Premier League preview show, sponsored by Bet365 on Friday mornings.
Every Friday morning. Yes. We've referenced it slightly a couple of times earlier, but the first week we did a prediction with the winning bet proceeds going to charity, but unfortunately, and that won, but the second week I went for both teams to score in the Manchester derby, so that went well. So thanks to Football of Manchester, you have single-handedly denied Prostate Cancer UK a sum of money.
We're in the process of suing Manchester City Council. It doesn't matter, though. Posted on that.
Luke hates charity.
Yeah, I do not. I bloomin' love it. But yeah, so look out for that on Friday morning. Next one.
Pete's got a message of his own.
I have, on Absolute Radio, which you can listen to at absoluteradio.co.uk/listen. We've got live commentary of West Ham versus Everton.
Home win, 7th. Away win or draw.
That's the admin out of the way.
Around Europe we go. Big win for Moyes and his men. 4-0 away to Levante. Needed that.
They needed it.
Reports suggest that Moyes wants to stay at least until the end of the season. So he's probably bought himself a little bit more time there. So he obviously doesn't want the Villa job right away.
Convincing win. And Carlos Vela as well got a couple of absolutely dinktastic goals. Yeah. He's still the dinkiest player to have ever dinked.
The dink master general.
Is he still on loan from Arsenal?
I think so.
Can I get him back for the inevitable? The inevitable injury crisis in March.
Real Madrid beat Celta Vigo 3-1. Benitez aside atop. They've only conceded 3 goals in 12 games all season.
Benitez is a controversial figure for some reason. Some people rate him, some don't. He gets things done. He just gets things done.
He got Chelsea when they were struggling that time as interim manager to Champions League and a Europa League win.
Yeah.
He won the Champions League with Liverpool.
Yeah. Liverpool. And got them back to a final.
Yeah, and won the league with Valencia, did he not? I mean, he's got a decent CV.
Did you also see in Spain that a fan invaded the pitch at the Nou Camp?
Oh, yeah.
And basically, we strapped to Neymar and got a selfie with him, and Neymar was, like, quite all right about it.
I think it was after the game.
I think it was in the middle of the game.
Was it
the
middle of the game? I thought it was after the game.
Either way, it's fine.
Either way, it shouldn't have happened, security, at the Nou Camp.
I like that of Neymar, though, that he's just been...
He seems like a good egg, doesn't he?
He does seem like a good egg.
Yeah. Wasn't the same as that that Dutch goalkeeper when there was a pitch invader. About 3 or 4 years ago? Maybe 5 years ago when he ran on at the keeper and he tried to kick the keeper and the keeper got out of the way then gave him a shoe-in.
I think that's fair game. I think if you enter the field of play, which you're not allowed to do, if you go into that bear pit, don't be surprised if you get a bit of a biting.
Correct.
a scalping.
A bit of a clawing.
Yeah.
The keeper's got some honey on your fur.
What are you doing? In Germany, Bayern made it 10 wins from 10 in the league, becoming the first Bundesliga side to do so. It was also the club's 1,000th win in the Bundesliga.
Boring.
Of all time, not this season. Boring. But I wouldn't put it past them.
If it was this season, they'd be on 3,000 points. Yeah. And very unlikely to relinquish the title at that stage.
In Serie A, there was history made at Milan. Gianluigi Donnarumma, I think it's pronounced, became the youngest goalkeeper, according to reports, ever to start a match in Serie A at 16 years and 242 days old.
Born in 1999, probably doesn't even remember the Millennium Bug.
No.
He probably doesn't know.
Oh, the Millennium Bug.
Now we're talking.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll remember those dark days recovering from that.
The bug was fortunately never aggravated, and we've all lived happily ever after since. Also in Serie A, Roma, they lead the way, but 4 teams, Napoli, Fiorentina, Inter and Lazio, are just 2 points behind them. Juve 8 points off the pace, Jim. I mean, it's exciting.
It is. It's good. It's about time that Juve collapsed. But it is. It's been boring, isn't it? They've just been romping to it every time.
I was about to say they're doing the Chelsea, but I think they're a bit well. They're Chelsea
a bit
11
better
points.
Better off than Chelsea.
I mean, Spain is pretty tight at the top at Spain at this stage.
Yeah. But
Germany, though.
In Italy, Roma occasionally win it. They are the team that occasionally win it. Like Valencia.
Occasionally win it? What? Once or twice?
They've
3 times in the history?
They won it in 2000, didn't they?
That's what I mean. They sort of they go a decade here and there. And then they
I think what Jim's saying is they're due one.
That's what I mean, yeah. And it'd be nice to see it.
All right. It would be nice to see it. With that, we all agreed.
I don't understand what you're doubting here.
Roma have only won the league title something like two or three times in their history.
Yeah, but I'm talking in modern history.
Yeah. All right.
Under Capello, it wasn't 2000, I believe.
You have to look at all of history. Yeah. That's all I'm saying.
Marcus Speller only looks at small amounts of history.
Oh, Jim does. Yeah. Oh, anyway, right. Let's go to FIFA. Talking of history, Tokyo Sex Whale, or Sex Wale. We've had our fun.
Sex Wale.
We've had our fun.
We've had our fun with a very proud anti-apartheid campaigner.
Yeah. Who served 13 years.
If anyone's the giants in this situation, it's us, definitely. We're the real winners here.
Yeah, he was on Robben Island for 13 years and served some of his time with Nelson Mandela. So the man deserves...
Mandela.
Yeah. A bit more respect for than what we've given him.
It wasn't just us, though. It was Sepp Blatter's fault, wasn't it? Because when when Tokyo Sex Wale came to everyone's attention, it was when he was sort of batting away the accusations of being ridiculous. And the initial thing he said was something like, I'm a man of the utmost dignity, now I'm off to meet my friend Tokyo Sex Wale.
And Tokyo's not even his actual real name,
right,
is
no.
it?
No.
It's... really?
No, but I think, according to his Wikipedia page, so... Take that with a pinch of salt. It comes from his karate exploits when he was a young lad.
There you go.
There you go.
The guy sounds quite amazing.
The FIFA thing is obviously an absolute sham.
He's running for presidency. Yeah, he's thrown his hat into the
But room. He's been part of the whole setup for a long time.
Well, They all have.
He's currently an anti-racism advisor with FIFA. I mean, since obviously the unpleasant history about Robben Island, he was he worked in government. He became a very successful businessman. He was the host of South Africa's version of The Apprentice, apparently.
Yeah, right. Wasn't he criticised for being too indecisive in the final? Though?
Wow. Brilliant.
You're fired, I think.
So he's perfect for FIFA, then.
Job share?
Give him the job. Give him the job.
Well, we don't know what the candidates were like.
Vote Baggio.
Yeah. He needs to throw his hat in the ring. Yeah. Is him or Ramon Vega?
Well, you know that, but I think
the people's choice.
I think the deadline's tonight and Platini's not withdrawn. Apparently Platini's not withdrawn.
Of course he's not withdrawn. No, it's absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. We need a quick corrections and clarifications
podcast
time.
That's our new midweek show.
Yeah. Was this...
last week I said that Nigel Adkins was Reading manager instead of Sheffield United manager.
Ooh.
Ruining an otherwise excellent anecdote.
Which it was.
When will I learn? But thanks for everyone getting in touch. Didn't get in touch about any of the other excellent stuff we all did. So that's been noted.
It's a negative feedback situation we've got. In with
I think he might go really, really big. I think he might really stake a claim as being...
Pushing Messi and Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Messi and Ronaldo. I mean, Jim chucked that in there, to be fair.
That's unnecessary. Yeah. Corrections and clarifications.
You've had your fun. When Hazard gets 40 goals between now and May, the egg will be on your face, Donaldson.
Get the shagging every night. I don't know.
We've done Premier League. That was ages ago. Marcus, wrestle control back of Peter.
Honestly.
I don't know how to do podcasts in Japan, Pete. But over here,
Tokyo Sex Donaldson.
You said that like Sir Alex Ferguson did when Arsene Wenger turned up to the Premier League and started saying, so I can't remember what he was suggesting, a rule change or how the league is structured or maybe a winter break, something like that. And they said to Ferguson, what do you think of Arsene Wenger's comments? And Ferguson, of course, had complete contempt with him for a long time in his career. And he said, well... Okay, so this guy's... He's come from Japan.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
So disrespectful.
Yeah. That underdeveloped nation.
I don't think we ever sort of discussed Wenger's exit kind of... It wasn't really an interview, but he was in the middle of the pitch. It was Grampus... Was it Grampus that he used to... Was it
Quite possibly.
No, well, I think that was...
That was
Gary Lineker's. Yeah. Whoever he managed. It was basically on the last game of his tenure. He was saying goodbye to all the people. And the speech he did... was clear that he'd not learnt a single word of Japanese. Watashiwa Arsene Wenger. I am Arsene Wenger. We know that, mate. We know that bit.
Yeah. That's great, that is.
Steve Evans' approach.
And now we go to the highlights of the week with Luke Moore.
Yes, I thought we'd do this email about Steve Evans.
Yes, go
about,
on then.
Not really about Steve Evans. It's more about Massimo Cellino.
Oh, yeah.
Last week I asked for someone to get in touch with and produce some sort of spreadsheet detailing the record of each manager under Cellino and giving us an average days that Steve Evans will potentially spend in the job. And Paul Forres has stepped up.
Big Paul.
Paul, you stepped up to the plate and we greatly appreciate it. He's worked it all out. Obviously, a spreadsheet isn't really an audio feature, so I'm going to have to sort of talk you through it. The average amount of time a manager has spent in the job under Cellino is 88 days. So for Steve Evans to make, obviously, parity with that, He will need to. He will roughly last till Saturday, the 12th of January, which is the day that Leeds play Sheffield Wednesday at Hillsborough, a big Yorkshire derby. Ooh. So, if he makes it that far, he's doing pretty well. But that's the prediction so far. It's not an official Morse Giles prediction. I'm just saying to reach parity with the other managers on Chiellino's watch.
Yeah.
Evans will last to around mid January.
His average exit date.
Yeah. So watch that with interest.
It was nice. It was nice that you managed to bring a visual feature to the audio medium, which is something that Sam Allardyce should have done in that England interview.
Yeah, it was.
Correct.
It was
a PowerPoint.
Absolutely.
Anyway, let's have
some more traditional
highlights.
Yeah. Okay.
But that was very appreciated, Paul. Thank you very much.
M Glass has been in touch on Twitter saying, my highlight of the week is Alan Smith on Sky approving of a substitution in Arsenal v Everton by saying the team needed an injection of legs.
Great.
John McPhillip says, low player numbers due to the Manchester derby at the weekend resulted in my Sunday league team, Collingwood FC, getting 6 points. 3 points awarded as our original opponents didn't show. A swiftly arranged match with another team whose opponents also didn't show meant we won 5-3. We now have 18 points from 8 games, 9 of which have been directly earned by teams folding or not showing up, lifting us up to a club record position of 3rd in the league. If results go our way next week or our opponents don't show up, we could potentially go top.
Amazing.
Keep us posted, John. Beautiful. You're going to be top of the league without actually having to play any football at all.
Grassroots are just thriving, aren't they?
They are, very much so, yeah. And I should end with this one, from David Doherty. He says, Saturday's clash between Swansea and Villa showed that anything AU can do, AU can do better. AU can do anything better than AU.
Can I have an honourable mention for Gareth Barry getting sent off against Arsenal with what I believe are his 107th and 108th Premier League yellow cards?
That's great, isn't it?
That's astounding, isn't it?
My goodness. My highlight of the week was realising that Jurgen Klopp looks a little bit like Stephen Merchant, which is even more funny when you think that he's taken over from David Brent.
Yes, very nice.
A website round up, please.
Yeah, this week there's been amazingly detailed forum chat about Jeff Goldblum's status in the Hollywood alphabet. Is he A-list? Is he B-list? Jim, you've created a monster there.
B-list.
So check that out. There's a Gigi Becali update. Alan Halilovic being forced to drink cider by a middle-aged man. That's very good, that video, actually.
Blimey.
And Eric Cantona's got his arse out again.
Yeah.
So that's good. And that's edited, of course, by the always excellent Kelly Wells, who you can follow at Kelly_Wells on Twitter.
Marvellous stuff. That's it, ladies and gentlemen. We've come to the end of a lovely show, if I may say so myself.
You may.
Don't forget that you can catch us again on Friday with the Premier League preview show. And if you want to get in touch, the email address is show at the Football Ramble. The website is thefootballramble.com, and we're on Twitter at Football Ramble, Facebook and Instagram. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Petey.
Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've got
been catfished by your own cat?
Exactly. Seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.